Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Erchin is daf Dalid, third day of Erchin. Okay, we are jumping off the language of the Mishnah. Actually, the first word in the Mishnah, back on Beis Amud Aleph, says Hakol Ma'arichim and Erchin Nozhim and Nidarin. Everybody's in the parsha of Erech. Everybody is subject to Neder, and we use a big language, the language of Hakol. And so, what the Gemara then took the opportunity to do. And it did so from the first day of Erchin, the second day of Erchin, and now the third day of Erchin, is it's going to take us through a tour of Shaf, all the times that the Mishnayos, the Braisos, the Tosefta said the word Hakol. So who is it coming to include? What's included in that term Hakol? So far, to date, a little notes on the side of my Gemara, we talked about Lulav and Esther, we talked about Tzitzis, we talked about Tefillin, we talked about the mitzvah of Alila Regel. We talked about Shofar. We talked about Kriyas HaMegillah. Okay.
When they made a compilation, I mean, do you think it's all of them?
I don't know.
When they wrote this,
And why? I asked somebody the other day also, why here? Meaning, why of all the places in Shas, why in Erchin did the Baal HaShas decide, Ravina Ravashi, why did they decide that now is the right time to do to go through all this?
Perhaps, maybe.
We talked about it regarding Zeman. We talked about it regarding the mitzvah of Ziva, right? The Tumas Meis, Tzaras, Paraduma. Oh wow, we covered a lot. Shechita. Okay. And the mitzvah of making Aliyah, right? Hakol, right? And we're going to go back and go over a couple that we did already. Meaning we're going to see a little bit of recycling today in terms of the topics. Do we leave ourselves off by tefillin? Yesterday we did tzitzis.
Yes, we did.
Okay, we did tzitzis. Okay, so we're up to tefillin. All right, we're starting with tefillin today. Okay, so we're on Gimel Amud Beis. We're right in the middle of Gimel Amud Beis with the two dots, and we are now going to discuss the mitzvah of tefillin. Hakol chayav b'tefillin. So everybody's obligated in the mitzvah of tefillin. Again, remember, I mentioned this yesterday, just to make sure that we're clear. Every time you see the word hakol, it doesn't automatically mean everybody. Meaning, regarding every mitzvah, there already is a specific population in terms of who it's addressing. So just because it says the word hakol does not mean everybody. Again, a simple example. Over here, we're talking about tefillin. Women aren't obligated in tefillin. So when it says hakol, you already know it doesn't mean everybody. It means, though, that in a general population of men, hakol everybody. And so, again, we go over what we've said before. The hakol is coming to include everybody, meaning all males. Hakol chayav b'tefillin, kohanim levim v'yisraelim. Now, here in this braisa, interesting, it says, who's obligated in the mitzvah of tefillin, even if you're a kohen? Even if you're a kohen, you're obligated in the mitzvah of tefillin. And the Gemara says, pshita, now, isn't it obvious? Meaning it's a mitzvah. It's mitzvah saseh. Why would I have thought? What's the havamina? So pshita kohanim mitzvah leis hagadah chamina holuksiv ukshartam osa yedach vayul tatafos beinei necham called the isa mitzvah diyad isa be mitzvah derosh vahani kohanim vahol velesnu be mitzvah diyad. Now kohanim, when they're doing the avoda, cannot have the tefillin shal yad. Can't have the tefillin wrapped on the arm. Any good guesses why?
What?
Yeah.
What?
Huh? So I would have... Yeah, so it's all right. I'm setting everyone up for
sprinkling?
Yeah, sprinkling maybe, right? I would have said all that. I would have said chatzitza. I would have said all that. The Gemara says none of that. The Gemara says the chsiv yubash abasaro has to do with the wearing of the clothing. When you're a kohen and you're wearing your big day kahuna, there must be direct contact between the clothing and the skin. There could be nothing separating the clothing of the kohen and the skin. Shelo yeh davar chotzis bein ovein basaro. So. Ema, so now I know that when Kohanim are doing the Avoda, they are going to be Pater, a legitimate exemption from wearing the Tefillin Shal Yad. Now, you all know that there are two separate mitzvahs. There's Tefillin Shal Yad and Tefillin Shal Rosh. And they're separate. Meaning, the Rambam counts them as two separate mitzvahs. And on any given day, if for whatever reason, you can't wear the Tefillin Shal Yad, you still put on the Shal Rosh. If for whatever reason, you can't put on the Shal Rosh, you still wear the Shal Yad. Meaning, there are two different mitzvahs. Right, the Minhag Sfard, and the Vilna Gaon actually agrees with this as well. The Minhag Sfard is to make one bracha when putting on the tefillin. Right, it's based again. Actually, it's Rashi. Rashi also. right? So you could make the argument that that shows that it's one mitzvah, but no, you can't even argue with that way. The reason why I say that, and I'm so confident in saying that, is because the Rambam, who counts it as two mitzvahs, also tells you that you only make one bracha. So don't look at the brachas as an indicator of whether it's one mitzvah or two mitzvahs. Lekuli Alma, according to everybody, they are two distinct mitzvahs. But what the Gemara now, it's just a question of when making brachas, how to formulate brachas, and it really is a question of how to learn a couple of Gemaras. Okay, it's not for us right now. But the point the Gemara is making is as follows. I might have thought that if somebody is fundamentally exempt from the mitzvah of the Shal Yad, he should also be exempt from the Shal Rosh. Meaning, even though they are two distinct mitzvahs, but they're connected, they're in the same pasuk together, so the only person who's chayiv in tefillin is somebody who in principle is obligated to wear both. Since the Kohen in principle is exempt from the Shal Yad, so maybe he should be exempt from tefillin altogether.
He doesn't wear a hat. One's not conditioned.
Come on, next question.
Oh,
no, it's okay, it's fine. So the Ahava Mina is, I might have thought that the Kohen is not going to be wearing the Shal Rosh Kamash Malan, that he's going to be wearing the Shal Rosh. Now, the Lo Ma'akve Adade, and they're not Ma'akev Kedinan. In fact, the Mishnah Menachos, we saw this Mishnah together. Tfil Shal Yad, Enam Akev Shal Rosh, Vishal Rosh, Enam Akev Shal Yad. Meaning in the Hava Mina, we thought that there was some connection, and the Maskan of the Gemara is no, they're really not. Meaning they really are not ma'akev one on another. Now the Gemara is going to ask Phil's question. I don't understand. The Shel Yad, the Kohen can't wear because he needs direct contact between his clothing and his skin. And the Tefillin will serve as a chatzitz and a can't. So therefore he's not going to be wearing the Tefillin Shel Yad. But what about the Shel Rosh? Kohen wears a beautiful hat called the Mitznafes. So why doesn't that prevent him from wearing a Tefillin Shel Rosh? And why don't we say Chatzitza? Tana, Sharu, I'm sorry, Sarah, Yanira, Ben Sitzel, Mitznafes, Shasham, and Yech Tefillin. So the Gemara says it's all about placement. Hat goes on the head, but the hat will leave enough room in the front of his head so that he can wear his Tefillin. Meaning Kohen could do everything. Cohen can have the hat, have the tefillin, and Cohen can do it all. Okay. Hakol chayav mitkiya shofar.
It seems to indicate that the tefillin is the box, not because the tzur will be covered. So I think it seems to indicate the box.
As long as there's no chatzitza with a box?
That's what it seems to be.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because he's wearing a tefillin.
And when and you're suggesting that
the way he says it is because what's visible, the tefillin is visible. He's not beating on the hair, he can see it.
Right.
So I think it seems to indicate only the back that's important.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. I hear it. Okay. We continue now up to the mitzvah of shofar. Hakol chayav mitkiya shofar. Okay, everyone's obligated. Comes to Rosh Hashanah, there's a mitzvah of tkiya shofar. Everyone's obligated. And when we say everyone again, same language of this Mishnah/Tosefta, which is Kohen Levim v'Yisraelim. Even if you're Kohen, you're obligated in the mitzvah of shofar. And again, the Gemara is going to go off on. Why would I have thought otherwise? It's a pshita. Kohen mitzvah leisakadach amina holksiv. So the Gemara is now going to give us havaminas, more havaminas. Why I might have thought and could have made an argument, Kohanim are not obligated in the mitzvah of shofar. Ksiv, the pasuk says Yom Tshua Yelachem, that it's going to be Yom Tshua, meaning that for us, meaning for the rest of us, not the Kohanim, but for the rest of us, hearing shofar is a once a year opportunity. It says Yom Tshua Yelachem. This is the day. This is the Tshua day. I understand it turns into a 2-day affair, but okay, that's gullus. That's Even Bizman based on Mikdash, they also had two day Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
Okay, but you understand. Fundamentally, it's a one day mitzvah. So Yom Tshua Yelachem, man delay sala b'tkia dechayum echayev, v'hani kohanim hol v'isnu b'tkia skula, shasa dechziv, utkata mechatzotzo, sala osechem, emalo lechayvo. So the Gemara makes a suggestion. Again, ahav amino. That, listen, kohanim get to hear shofar every single day. every time a carbon is brought, utkatem chatzor b'chatzorsos. You blow on your chatzorsos. Now, what the Gemara is doing right now, which the Gemara will pick up on in just a moment, is it is confusing its shofar and its chatzotzros. They're not the same. The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah tells us that they're different. But at least right now, at this juncture of the Gemara now believes that they're the same. And so therefore, as a hava mina, for the rest of us who only hear shofar one time a year, we're chayav. For the Kohanim who hear shofar every day, maybe they're not. Maybe they wouldn't be chayav. So the Gemara says, midami, again, even as a hava mina. Hasim chatzorsos hacha shofar. You're confusing. You're confusing your chatzorsos and your shofar. It's rixaka dacha amina ho tanan. So the Gemara now is going to explain. Here, maybe we'll do the hava mina this way. Shava hayovel Rosh Hashanah l'tkiel l'brachos. You know, Yovel comes around every 50th year. Yovel celebrated what day of the year? Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur of the 50th year. So the Torah tells us that you're going to blow in the shofar, and Torah doesn't tell us this, but we know, it's Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, that for that Musaf of Yom Kippur of Yovel, it's going to be same as Rosh Hashanah. Malchiyot Zechrono Shofras, right? The longest Shemona Esrei of the year, made up of nine brachas, but still, the three center ones are long. Malchiyot Zechrono Shofras. So the Musaf is going to be the same of the Yom Kippur Yovel, and of course we're going to blow Shofar as well. But that's not the point. The point is that the Torah connects Rosh Hashanah to Yovel. The Isa b'mitzvah, Shava Yovel Rosh Hashanah, l'tkiel l'brachos. The Isa b'mitzvah Yovel, Isa b'mitzvah Rosh Hashanah. The Leisa b'mitzvah Yovel, Leisa b'mitzvah Rosh Hashanah. So I might have thought, again, ahava mina, that anyone who is included in the mitzvah of Yovel is included in the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah / Shofar. And anyone who is not included in the mitzvah of Yovel is not included in the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah / Shofar. Now, Kohanim, Mahani Kohanim, Hov, Lesnu, B'mitzvah, Yovel. Kohanim are not included in the mitzvah of Yovel. What? What? They're not included in the mitzvah of Yovel? So, did not. Okay, so this is coming up later on. This is the end of Erechin, the ninth parak of Erechin. A little sneak preview. Kohanim v'levim ochrin la'olam. V'go'an la'olam. A Kohen and a Levi can sell land at any point in time they want. They can even sell land during the Yovel year. V'go'alin la'olam. And they can buy back their land anytime they want. A Jew, a non-Kohen, a non-Levi, when they sell land, so they have to sell it for a minimum of 2 years. No such thing as a sale less than 2 years. Again, we get to the ninth parak. We'll learn more about this. We'll learn why. We'll darshan psukim. Right now, just suffice to say, there has to be a minimum sale of 2 years. But that's for Yisroel. For a Kohen and for a Levi, they could sell land even for less than 2 years. And meaning they could buy back their land even within 2 years. So you see that in the world of Yovel, there are exclusions and exemptions for a Kohen and for a Levi. This is not talking about lending. This is talking about buying and selling of lands. So there are exclusions and exceptions. So again, a Havamina, since they are not subject to the laws of Yovel, they're also not included in the mitzvah of Shofar, and we know that Shofar and Yovel are connected one to another. That's all a Havamina. So the Gemara says, Kamash Mulan, Nehid, Alasnu, Bashmatas Karka, Bashmatas Ksafim, Bishiluach Havadim, Miha Istnehu. And the Gemara's response is, they're not fundamentally excluded from Yovel. Yes, in terms of the selling of land, in terms of the buying back of land, there are exclusions for a Kohen. But, Hashmatas Ksafim, right, loans being forgiven, Shiluach Avadim, sending your Eved Ivri free in the Yovel year, right? The Pasuk says, Vavado La'olam. And we know La'olam does not mean forever, it means up until Yovel. If a Kohen has an Eved Ivri, he's got to release him in the Yovel year. So it's not a fundamental exclusion from Yovel, it is just a couple of exceptions in terms of Hashmatas Karka. But that's it. So in other words, so they are really connected to the mitzvah of Yovel, and so therefore they're connected to the mitzvah of Shofar as well. Hakol chayav memikra megillah kohanim levim v'yisraelim. One more time, we're going to do this again. Everyone's obligated in the mitzvah of mikra megillah. Now I know we talked about megillah yesterday, right? But what we're addressing right now is this Tosefta that uses the language of, even if you're a Kohen, you're obligated in the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. And again, Pshita, the Gemara says, now, Isn't that obvious? Tzricha libata avodah sam. So the Gemara says, no, it's not so obvious. Libata avodah sam. What that means is that even if they have the avodah in which to do, and they have the mitzvah, mikra, megillah. Now, if we're going to weigh the two, meaning, imagine, the kohen right now, not enough time left in the day, and basically, here's the story. I can either do today's avodah in the base of Mikdash, or I'm going to go hear the Megillah. Now, if we could just without emotions, just clinically, objectively figure out which one should take precedence. I don't think there'd be much debate. Avoda.
Can he hear it at the same time?
I understood, but right now let's assume it's an either or. Okay, so how about this? I'll make it more exciting. Let's say there's nobody else doing the avoda. I know. But just, in other words, what I want to do is I really want to play out the Chiddush of the Gemara. Because the Gemara says that if I have a Kohen who either A, can go do the Avodah, or B, go listen, has an opportunity to hear the Megillah, and it's either or, so then what's, given the choices, what do I do? Mikra Megillah. Uchid Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Dam Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kohanim ba'avodasam ulevim b'duchem v'yisua ba'ma'amadam, mevalin avodasam uvalin l'shmua mikra Megillah. So they don't do the avodah and listen to the Megillah. Now, it's difficult to understand. It's difficult to understand. It's quite frankly, it's very difficult to understand. Given the choices between the two, you would say avodah is more important. Avodah is a mitzvah da'araisa. Make it nice and simple. Right? Avodah is a mitzvah da'araisa. Megillah is a mitzvah de Rabbanan. Right. It's hard to understand, difficult to understand how the mitzvah de Rabbanan can override the mitzvah de Araisa. Very difficult. And you want to argue, I guess, that maybe that Megillah has an aspect of Pursume Nisa, and Pursume Nisa is more, but hard to quantify Pursume Nisa. Okay, there are Rishonim, this goes back to our Megillah days, there are Rishonim who do not take the Gemara as literally as I just read it. I read the Gemara super literally, that it's an all or nothing. It's either Avodah or it's Megillah. I mean, I didn't do anything that drastic. All I did was just read the Gemara Kipshuto. But some Rishonim say, no, that cannot be it can't possibly be the Pshat in the Gemara, because, like I just said, it's hard to understand how a mitzvah d'oraisa of avoda can override the mitzvah d'rabbanan of mikra megillah. Maybe it's talking about over here which one should come first. Maybe that's the discussion of a Gemara over here. It's hard to imagine. Right. Correct. In other words, correct. The issue over here is not an issue of all or nothing like I described it, but maybe it's just a kedima. Just a question of which one should come first. Okay. Perhaps. Hakoch ayavim b'zimon, everyone's obligated in the mitzvah of zimon, we're back to benching. We did this yesterday, I know. But again, we're going to deal with the aspect of, same story, Kohanim, Leviim, v'Yisraelim. All of us. Even the Kohanim have a mitzvah of zimon. Pshita, lo tzricha deka'ach, lo tzricha deka'ach le'kachim. The Gemara suggests like this. Maybe, what are the Kohanim doing? They're eating kachim, carbon. You know that when a Kohen eats, for example, a carbon chatas, we'll use a chatas as our example. Okay, so what is he doing right now? So you'll tell me he's eating. And I'll say to you, no, he's doing much more than eating. That's kapara. When the Kohen eats his carbon chatas, the one who brings the carbon chatas is achieving kapara through that eating, through the eating of the Kohen. Okay? Can you imagine? Dan, what an easy job. You sit there and you eat the carbon, and the owner of that carbon now is receiving kapara. Right? And you can't, don't interrupt me in my meal right now. I'm doing something really important. I'm providing a kapara for somebody else. Hard to imagine, but it's correct. That's how it works. So I might have thought that we're not going to, let's not call this eating. Meaning, even though I know I'm doing the physical act of eating, but let's not call it that. Let's call it, I'm providing kapara. It's avoda. Right. So therefore, I might have thought now, so how about zimun? Right? Should we bench? Should we make a zimun right now? No, that's for people who are eating. I'm not eating right now. I'm doing a vod. I'm providing a kapara. So the Gemara says, again, that's all the havamina. Yeah, but the Gemara says, yeah, but zimun slash benching, that, right. Right, you're still going to walk away from doing that avoda and you'll be full. Right, you won't be full after you shech an animal. You won't be full after sprinkling the blood, but you would be full after eating, and that's all you need for benching. V'achalta v'savata, so that's the maskana. Hakol mitzarf from the zimun. Everyone could be included for a zimun. And even Kohanim. Kohanim can be included in a zimun. Oh, that's good to know. Dan, can you imagine? No, you're not included in the zimun. You're a Kohen. Correct. If anything, just the opposite, right? The Kohen has to be asked first to lead the benching. But again, that's exactly what's going to bother the Gemara. What's going on over here? I'll come and start from the zimun. Kohanim levim v'yisraelim shita lo tzricha dekachli kohanim truma. O kachim. V'zarka achel chulin. So the Gemara says, I'll give you a reason why this is a chiddush. Because let's say for a moment, we're having a meal, right? Me, Dr. Zagi, and Dan. Sorry, I didn't give you the proper title. I told you in South America, you'd also be a doctor. But what can I tell you? This is not South America. So the three of us are sitting down, we're eating a meal, and Dan decides to bring his truma with him, and he's going to now eat truma. So now, Hedy and I, we can't eat the truma. Right? It's prohibited to us. So Dan's smiling because he knows that there's no way I can reach over and help myself to whatever he's eating. So he'll be excited to know. So now think about it. Meaning we're eating together, but not exactly. Because Hedy and I can exchange foods with one another. But we can't exchange foods with Dan, so maybe this is not called together. Maybe this is not called eating together. Maybe we, the three of us, can't make a zimun. That's the havamina of the Gemara. That's a very good havamina. Sakadat chamina, hovi ibai zela mecha bahadi kohen, lamati achel, ema lo litstaref, kamash malan. Now listen carefully, because this is important. Why is it now that we can make a zimun? Meaning that's a very good havamina. The Gemara goes on to explain. Nihi dezar bahadi kohen, lamati achel, kohen bahadi zar mati achel. So, yeah. Because what Dan can do is he can reach over and take from my food. Meaning I'm eating just regular food. Nothing of my food is prohibited to him. It's only his food which is prohibited to me. So because he can reach over and take from my plate, that's called together and that's called a zimun. Okay. Tosos, huh? I know. I know I picked the wrong people for this example, but you know, you're my Kohen though, so now Tosos takes this to its next step, which is if we painted a scenario where nobody can reach over to anyone else's plate and take from anybody else, so can we make Zeman together? And the answer would be no. Now, can anyone be creative enough? I mean, Tosos is right in front of me. So I don't
we're all different bowls.
maybe. I'm looking at Tosas. I don't need to be creative. I have Tosas right in front of me. Can anyone think of a scenario where the three of us are eating, but nobody could reach over and take anyone else's food halachically? I'll get to milk inflation. That's excellent. I'll get to that in just a moment. The table's too big.
And one of the
Kohen
is eating, let's say...
Truma. Yeah, but there the Kohen can reach over and take from me.
No, but it's Fleshik and Yermechik.
Okay, we'll get to Fleshik and Milchik in just a moment.
Your insurance is pure.
Okay, so I'll read Tosos. Mikan Nira, the Gimel B'nei Adam, if you want to follow with me, I'm in the second Tosos on the page. V'haf Dachilas Kachim. I'm right in the middle of that Tosos. Mikan Nira, the Gimel B'nei Adam, Hamudar Mahanah Zemizeh. I have three people who don't like one another. In fact, they so don't like one another that they say, oh my gosh, and here I won't give any of us as examples because I can't imagine, but the three people are so annoyed with one another, they make a neder. I will not benefit from that man, and I punctuate it with a neder. So I am prohibited to benefit from any of his foods, and him too. Right. And each one of them are so annoyed with one another, they make a neder. Now, only Jewish people will understand this next line that comes out of my mouth. And that is the three of them are eating together. I'm just saying, you just understand. It's no problem to how three people could be so annoyed with one another to the extent where they make a nether, and that but they're still eating together. Right. Just saying, it's mikan yir degimel b'nei adam hamudarim hanaz nemizeh einam etzarfin. So Tosos now says, now since nobody at that table can reach over and take from anyone else's food, they can't make zimun. They're not eating together. Kaven de ein echad mehen yachol achol im chaveru. Okay. All right. In other words, that would be a scenario. Okay. Now let's get to the more exciting topic, because rare is the case where you're going to be sitting down at a meal where the three people are making a neder against one another. Much more common, however, is where you have people sitting down at a table eating milchik and fleishik together. Now, this is discussed, huh? You're right. Right. The scenario I'd like to try to create is one where the food itself is kosher. Right. Correct. So the Mishnah Berurah talks about this, right? The famous Mishnah Berurah, famous because I know it, but I'm saying, I think people know this in general. What happens now if we have a meal and some people eating milchik at the meal and some people eating fleishik at the meal? Just a side point, we learned this back in Chulin. If you do that, so you should know that you need a hecker. You need some sort of something on the table that indicates that, you know, that I'm eating milk and you're eating fleishik. The halach is you could just simply put a tablecloth or a placemat down under your food. Okay, that's a separate requirement, a rabbinic requirement. That's a meat and milk issue. But we're just talking now from the perspective of making zimun. So if let's say I have two people at the table eating milchik and one person eating fleishik, can they make a zimun, right? Two people are eating, right, grilled cheese and one person's having a deli. Can they make zimun, yes or no? So the Mishnah Berurah says yes. Why? Because even though the one having the deli can't reach over and help himself to a little bit of the grilled cheese, but the grilled cheese person can actually reach over and have a piece of deli. What? Don't you have to wait between milk and meat? And the answer is no. No, you don't need to wait. I know there's an accepted minhag. I grew up this way. Like, wait a half an hour, right? Some people wait an hour. Me'ikar din, according to the strict letter of the law, you don't need to wait. You can eat meat right away. The halacha requires, Shulchan Aruch says, that you have to rinse out your mouth, you have to chew on something, but there's no waiting time. So in other words, right, immediately after you have your grilled cheese, you can have, you know, say that deli looks pretty good. Hold on 1 second. You rinse your mouth out, you brush your teeth, and then you can have a bite of the deli. That's fine.
The other end.
Huh? The other end of the sandwich. Mishnah Berurah says if you have people eating milk and fleishik at the same table, since in one direction one person can reach over and eat from the other person's plate, therefore you mitzar for zimun. Okay? It's like the Kohen and the Tzar eating at the same table. Okay. Let's go on in the Gemara. Okay, hakol ma'arichin kohanim levim v'yisraelim pshita. I'm a rav lo nitzricha ella ben bochri. Everyone is involved in the mitzvah of erichin, including a kohen. Again, why would I have thought that a kohen is not included? I'm a rav lo nitzricha ella ben bochri. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why I would have thought it all makes sense if you subscribe to the viewpoint of ben bochri ditnan. And we learned a Mishnah in Shkalim together. We've seen this Mishnah a number of times. We also learned Shkalim together at one point in time. Shkalim is much closer in the future than it was in the past. Right? We're starting Brachos again, which means Shkalim is like right around the corner. Hard to imagine. So, but the Mishnah in Shkalim teaches us the following. We know everyone has to give a maksis a shekel, the operating fund of the Beis HaMikdash, where annually, the month of Adar, we start coming around collecting half a shekel from everybody. Does a Kohen also need to give a half a shekel? So Ben Bukhari says, no. Kohen doesn't have to give a half a shekel. Not necessary. He's not obligated. Right now, just let's leave it at that. And so the Gemara now makes the following argument. Ahavamina. Did not we learn in the Mishnah Rav Yehuda Hayd ben Bukhri Biavne Kol Kohen Sheshokol Ein Echote? Look, if you're a Kohen and you want to give a shekel, you're not a sinner, meaning you don't have to, but if you want to give, that's fine. Amar Rav Yochanan Zakeh Lo Kein Ela Kol Kohen Sheshokol Chote. Now Rav Yochanan Zakeh says just the opposite. If you're a Kohen, you have to give the Machitzis a shekel. Ela Shagonim Darshan Mikra Zela Atzman. Now the reason why Kohanim think they don't have to give is because they quote a pasuk and they justify and they rationalize, oh, I clearly don't have to give machzis a shekel. The pasuk says, "V'chol minchas kohen kalot tiyah lo sochal." We know that if a mincha is brought by a kohen, a flower offering is brought by a kohen, it is not eaten. The entire flower offering is burnt. You still take off a kometz, but then you burn the kometz and the shirayim. Now, here's the argument. It's a justification. It's a rationalization of the Kohanim. They're thinking like this. If I give the machetzis a shekel, that means that this year's karbanos are being purchased using my money, some of my money. Now, granted that my money does not represent the majority, but so what? My money's part of that fund. And now what are they buying with that money? They're buying karbanos, including mincha. Right? There are two communal mincha offerings. Number one, the lechem aponim, that's eaten weekly by the Kohanim. And number two is the shteh halechem, that's eaten on Shavuos. How can those menachos, which I'm going to be eating, coming from my money? You know that any mincha offered by a Kohen has to be burnt entirely. Oh, good. You hear it, meaning it's not crazy. It's not but it's a rationalization.
But is it a mincha that's coming from him, or did he just contribute the money to the general fund that could have been used?
That's the answer. Well, in other words, what you're saying now is the answer, meaning it's just an excuse. It's not legitimate, at least according to Rav Yochanan Zakkai. Hol v'omer v'shei alechem v'lechem aponim shalanu heim hechem na'achalem ula ben buchri na'ami. Sorry, before I go on further. So you see that according to Ben Bukhri, they don't have to give machzis a shekel. Rav Yochanan Zakkai disagrees. He says, no, it's not correct. Fine. But at least according to Ben Bukhri, they are exempt. Now, see, Ula Ben Bukhri na mikevet lachachil ala mechai ve lasui ke maise na michotehu. So the Gemara says, according to Ben Bukhri, how can they even suggest they're going to give? Meaning, if the whole reason that they cannot give the machitzis a shekel is because that money is going to go to the carbon, which they're going to end up eating, so they shouldn't be giving at all. So the Gemara says, dekamaya chul and lazara. So the Gemara says no, because when they give, what they're doing is that they're no longer claiming ownership of that money. Meaning this money is totally for the tzibor. It's not my money anymore. Okay. So according to Ben Bukhri, there's a means of them giving the shekel. But now the Gemara is going to explain the Hava Minah. Sakadat Chamina Holksi V'chol Erkecha Yeh B'Shekel HaKodesh. Called the Isa B'Shkalim Isa B'Erkecha V'Hani Kohanim Hol V'Lesnu B'Shkalim Lesnu B'Erechen Kamash Malan. As a Hava Minah, I might have thought that since they are, according to Ben Bukhri, excluded from the Mitzvah of Shkalim, and since you find that there's a link between Shekel and Erechen, and the link is the Pasuk says, Gemara just quoted it, called Erkecha Yeh B'Shekel HaKodesh. So since they're exempt from Shkalim, according to Ben Bukhri, they're also going to be excused from the mitzvah of Erchin. As a Havamina, Kamash Malan, the Chiddush is, no. It's funny, a lot of these times with these Kamash Malans, the Gemara doesn't like finish the sentence, meaning, what's the Kamash Malan? That we don't, the link is not a good link, we don't agree to Ben Bukhri, meaning, you can... I always, you'll see a lot of that today as well. That sometimes Kamash Malan doesn't finish the sentence, and therefore, no, we don't fully understand what's the chiddush over here. Amalei Abaye Hayv Chol Erkecha Lachol Erchin Shatamarich Lo Yepchus Miselahu Daasa. So Abaye says, even as a Havamina, I do not like it, because the Chol Erkecha is coming to tell me that the minimum amount that a person can give is only one selah. We'll learn later on the Masechta. Let's say you make an Erech Neder, an Erech vow, and then you lose your money, and you become poor. So what you can do is you can go for a special assessment. This is what's called Hesed Yad. And even though you'll get assessed and you'll get a little bit of a break, but you'll still have to pay the minimum you're going to have to pay is going to be one shekel. So the Gemara, and we learned that from V'chol Erkachayyeh B'Shekel HaKodesh. So in other words, what bothers the Gemara now is that we darshan the pasuk already. So you can't use this pasuk even for a Hava Mina. Alam Rabbi Yitzchak Saka Dat Chamin Ahol Ksiv Ufduya Mi Ben Chosh Tifta Be'erkacha Kol Deisa Be'Pidjan HaBen Isa Be'erkachin V'Hani Kohan Imhol V'Lesnu Be'Pidjan HaBen Lesnu Be'erkachin Kamash Balan. So the Gemara makes another suggestion, another Hava Mina. We know that there's a link between Pidjan HaBen and Erkin. Anyone who is obligated in the mitzvah of Pidjan HaBen is obligated in Erkin. As a Hava Mina, I might have thought, since Kohanim are not involved in the mitzvah of Pidjan HaBen, Kavachomer, remember back in Bechoros? They're not involved in the mitzvah of Pidjan HaBen, therefore they're not going to be included in the mitzvah of Erchin. And then, right, and the same thing would be true, meaning this Hava Mina would be true for Levi as well. Amle Rava, Lameata Gabi Ayel Hashem Dechsi, Vesashmo Yavil Hashem, Ayel Tamim Minatzon Be'erkacha. If you're linking, so why don't you link Erchin with the Karban Hashem? Hachanami, the Chaldisa Be'erchin, Isa Ba'al Hashem, Tum Vajaganos. Now, we know that a tumtum and a jargonist are not in the parsha of Erchin. In order to be in the parsha of Erchin, you either have to definitely be a male or definitely be a female. Since your tumtum and a jargonist are not definite, so therefore they're not an Erchin, maybe they don't bring a carbon asham. Maybe they're excluded from the whole carbon asham because of this link. Finally, the Gemara says, "Okay, I'm not buying all these links. I'll explain to you what the Hava Mina is. Again, we're just doing a Hava Mina, but the Hava Mina is I might have thought that when a person experiences poverty and he has to go in front of a Kohen, the Torah says, "Vehemid oso lefnei a Kohen." He stands in front of a Kohen. I might have thought that you have to be a non-Kohen standing in front of a Kohen. But if you're a Kohen, you're just simply not to stand in front of another Kohen, meaning simply you're not in the Parsha of Erchin. Again, as a Hava Mina. That's the thought process in terms of why a Kohen would have been excused from the whole Parsha of Erchin, and the Gemara says Kamash Malan. No. And again, it's the same story. Meaning, what's the Kamash Malan coming to teach us? Obviously that they are included. But why? Because we don't buy this drasha of Kohen Lifnei Kohen. Right? Or maybe. Huh? No, I understand. But it's just, you know. Okay.
But didn't we learn that Kohenim are supposed to be supported? So it doesn't, may not even apply to them financially, though they cannot be destitute. But you're supposed to support Kohenim.
Right. The you see that most is by the Kohen Gadol. Uh-huh. Right. The Kohen Gadol, the Gemara says, is that if he's, in order to be Kohen Gadol, you have to be wealthy. Right. What if he's not? So the Gemara says there, so right. you make him wealthy. Okay, but that's by Kohen Gadol. All right, that's it for today. No, meaning we're not done. Oh. Yeah, please don't, nobody go anywhere. But that's it for today in terms of all of our hakols. Okay? We bring this whole discussion now to an official end. All the hakols and the mishnayos and the Tosefta's, I was asked, is this really every single one? You got to ask somebody with like a real encyclopedic knowledge.
We'll have 7.5 years.
Yeah, I'm saying now. make mental notes now for the next 7 years. Right. And by the way, you can't limit yourself to Mishnah. You have to also learn the Toseftas as well. Okay. So, but yeah. Okay. Oh, you already noted one, huh? Very good, Stuart. Okay. So yeah. So is this a comprehensive list? I do not know, but I do know this. We're moving on. The Gemara now, from this point forward, is going to dedicate itself to the topic of Erchin, which makes perfect sense because that's the Masechta we're learning right now. In other words, back to the regularly scheduled program. And we are back to the Mishnah, and the Mishnah taught us that everyone's involved in Ma'arich and Narach, and everyone's Nodir and Nidar, and including that is Kohen and Levim v'Yisraelim, and Nashim v'Avadim, and Tumtum v'Androgynous, no. And we start, we continue now with the Gemara. Ne'erachin la'asuyei menuval u'mukashchin. Now, menuval u'mukashchin are included in Erech. Remember menuval u'mukashchin? Somebody who is suffering from boils. Okay, this week's Parsha. Right? Yeah, right. Last one. Last one in, no, not the last one. Okay, not right. The second to last mak of this week's parsha. Tzach Adash, yeah, Shchin. Okay, someone who's suffering from boils. Now, how will he do on the open market? He won't do well. Meaning, right? You're right. You have a slave who is infested with boils and put him on the market, and he won't sell. Okay, so. You might have thought, I know we just did a lot of this, but you might have thought that he doesn't have damim, he doesn't have a value, so he's not included in the world of Erech. He is. Why? Because Erech is based on only two criteria and two criteria only. On your gender and on your age. And that's it. So therefore, our Mukashchen is in the Parsha of Erechen. Minahan Emila, the Gemara says now, let's have a source. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to quote a brisa. It's a long brisa. It goes on, right? I'll wink to you when the brisa officially is over. And the reason why we're quoting this brisa right now is because included in this brisa is the Menuva Mukashchin comment. And so, but we're going to quote the brisa in its entirety. Tana Rabbana, we learned in the following brisa. Erech Chalahavi Erech Sasam. Let's say somebody makes an Erech but does not specify. We'll explain that better in just a moment. Let's say I would like to give the erech of somebody's arm, meaning I like his arm. He has an excellent arm. It's a fantastic throwing arm. I would like to give its erech. No such thing. What about damim? Is there a value to arms? Absolutely. Okay? Just ask any good pitcher. So the
personal injury attorney.
You right? You guys know. Well, I'm saying not you guys. You're not.
Those guys.
Right. Exactly. Very good. Those guys know. So the obviously there's a value to an arm, but erech and erechin's a different type of vow altogether. Erech is only going on the entire person, and erech is only contingent on your age and your gender. Right? You'll hear this again and again. You'll really get the idea that erech is something totally different. It sounds a lot like neder, but it's not. It's different. What if I point to a limb that is essential for the person's survival and existence? Let's say his heart or, you know, his torso. So even though I only pointed not to his entire body, but a aver shanashama tluya bo, without that limb, he would die. That is included in erech. Tamalam nefashos. Nefashos v'lo hames. What if I make the erech of somebody who's dead? Right? It's like, if you can imagine, like, you know, it's, you know, you have a yahrzeit coming up. So as a way to commemorate, I'd like to give his erech.
What age category would that be?
It's so strange. In fact, in other words, Tosos over here, take a look at the Tosos, Nefashos V'lo Ames. Meaning, it's what a havamina. Somebody who's dead, and I'm going
to
give his erech. He's not worth anything. So look at Tosa. Tosa says, "Avagav dasa b'hana min haTorah." You know, when somebody's dead, he's dasa b'hana, which means, what's the value of somebody who's dead? Meaning, I know you can't put a price on it, but let's put a price on it. What's the value of somebody who's dead? The answer is zero. It's dasa b'hana. You don't have to get benefit from it. Ve'ena b'damim salka das chamina di'isa be'erchin hol ve'isra be menuvol mukashchin daleisa b'damim. Tosa explains again as a havamina. Look. We've already proven that you don't have to have a value to have an erech, right? We just did it three lines ago. Menuvo mukashchin. Somebody who is infested with boils, who will not sell on the open market, and therefore has a value of zero, and yet he's in the parsha of erechin. So I might have thought that the mace, even though he has no value, is in the parsha of erechin. Okay. Otzias ameis v'lo otzias agoses. Let's say somebody is on his way out, really in critical condition. Okay. Tamalamar Bamid Vera Khoshna Bahamad, Yeshna Ba Racha, the Khoshina Bahamadina Ba Racha. He has to be able to stand. Okay. Davar Achin Nefashos Ainli Ella Echasharich Echad, Echasharich Me'a Minayin. What if I'm marich 100 people? Meaning I would like to give the erech of everyone in this room. That works. Tamalam and Nefashos. Davar Acher. Now, you know, in the world of darshan, you're not allowed to double dip. We're double dipping, we're triple dipping. The Gemara later on will be sensitive to that. Nefashos, we're on now the top of Dal Amud Beis. Ein li ela ish, sheherich bein ish ben isha. In the Torah speaking b'lashon zachar. So I know that if a man is ma'arich, that's going to work. Isha sheherich ish, isha sheherich isha, minayin tamalam nefashos. Nefashos comes to tell me that even if a woman is ma'arich, she's on the hook for her erchin. Davar acher, nefashos rabbis menuvah mukashchin. Shiachol neder be'erchin kol sheyeshna b'dam and yeshna be'erchin. V'chol sheyena b'dam im eino be'erchin tamalam nefashos. And menuvah mukashchin is included in erich. Now, did we not say that just a moment ago? No. No, because that was the Gemara set up for the Braisa. This is now the part of the Braisa which actually says a menuvah mukashchin is included in erchin. I'm sorry. Tamalam nefashos. Vayakir chalarabas tumtum vajraganos lidamim. Now, the Haya Erkecha is coming to tell me that Tumtum and Draganos, even though they're not in the Parsha of Erech, because you have to be definitively male or definitively female, but they have value. Shiachol neder be'erkecha kol sheyeshna be'erchin yeshna b'damim v'chol sheyna be'erchin eino b'damim. Tamalamer v'haya erkecha. And v'haya erkecha means that the only time there's a requirement of being either definitely male or definitely female is only by erchin. But by damim, if you want to give the value of an androgynous, right? He, she has a value. Okay. Hazachar, zachar, velo tumtum, v'androgynous. Yachol lo yeh be'erich ish, aval yu be'erich isha. Again, as a havimina, I might have thought that your androgynous may not be gauged as a male in the world of erichin, but maybe a female. So the Gemara says, tamalam revaya erkecha hazachar v'im nikeva. He, zachar vadai, nekeva vadais, velo tumtum ve'androgynos. Period. That is the end of the Braisa. Okay? So the Braisa started on the bottom of the previous Amud, and it goes to this point in time. And the Braisa learns out many halachas regarding Erechin, about who is included and who is excluded from this whole parsha of Erechin, who is subject to being the object of Erech, and who is not being the object of Erech. And the Gemara goes through, now that as long as we quote the Braisa, the Gemara does what it does. Classically, it dissects the Braisa piece by piece. Amar Mar. Be'erik echalarabas erich sasso. We go to the first comment of the Braisa, which is, if I give an unspecified erich, I'm on the hook. What does that mean? My erich sasum detanya. Haomer erich sasum alai. He says, I'd like to give an erich. He doesn't point to anybody. He doesn't say who. Now, that's important information. You're right. Correct. That's important information. Because erech means I want to give the value of somebody, and that value is going to be determined by age and gender, and he didn't point to anybody. He could have made a very legitimate argument. That's nothing. No saying kepacho shebe'erchen. So he now is obligated. Now, it could be, I'm not 100% sure, that this is operating more like a neder than an actual erech, maybe. But what he does is that he gives the minimum. Now, what's the minimum? You remember the schedule? We went over it on the first day of Erechin. So the minimum amount is 3, right? From your woman, or in this case, girl, who is a month to 5 years of age. So for her, it's 3 shkalim. So this person who made a pledge, I'm giving an erech, and that's all he says, he's on the hook for 3. V'kama pachos sheberechin shosha shkalim ve'ema chamisha, chamishim, so the Gemara says, why don't we say 50? And you know the answer, tafasta meruba lo tafasta, tafasta mua tafasta. Right? Age-old rule in the world of halacha comes up again and again. Right? Don't grab too much. You grab too much, you're not going to have anything in your hand. grab the smallest amount. Smallest amount over here is 3. Ve'ema shekel, well, the Gemara says, you know, you can go lower. Meaning, remember, the person who is poor can get a special assessment. So, and that special assessment can go down as low as 1 shekel. So maybe the stam erech is 1 shekel. So the Gemara says that, no, that's its own separate category. That's a category of hesed yad. In other words, hesed yad leaves the general world of erechin and enters into a totally new category. And this person wants to be in the world of erechin. So he's got to go to the lowest erech, which is 3. The elakra lamali amar av nachman amar av baravu alamar sheinonit dan behesed yad. So the Gemara says, and that's exactly the point of the pasuk, that he doesn't get dropped to hesed yad. My time kedem mefarish dami, because even though he didn't specify, it's as if he specified. Now ikadar, let's just get through this next couple lines of Gemara. We'll stop. Ikadar mi amar av nachman amar av baravu nid dan behesed yad. No, he's actually nid dan behesed yad. Pshita ba'udetema kemefarish dami kamash malan. No, he actually is dropped to hesed yad, which means that he's only going to give 1 shekel. I might have thought that it's, even though he didn't specify, it's as if he specified, kamash malan, that he goes to, that he gets to go drop down to 1 shekel. Okay, good. All right, today we finished up all of our calls. We did tefillin, we did shofar, Megillah Zimun, Erechin. Good discussion today about how to be mitzvah for Zimun, eating milk and fleshik at the same table. And we are now back into the world of Erechin, and we quoted a Brisa, and we continue tomorrow, step by step, going through the Brisa of who is included and who is excluded from the mitzvah of Erechin. Rabbi Chanan, Ben HaKashem, Rabbi HaKashem, Baruch Hu, Zaku, Sol, Fich, Achir, Mentor, Mitzvah, Shanem, Anay, Chafetz, Amantzikol, Yagdil, Terav, Yadir.